RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
It's a rainy Tuesday morning. We've been saying that a lot recently. It's been kind of dreary these days. Hopefully the sun will break out one of these days. It's 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We'll put a little pep in your step on this Tuesday morning. Welcome aboard. MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Lots to get to today. Two guests today. At 10:30, so that's in 30 minutes, Parney will join us. I've had the pleasure, you know, I hang out with Parney. I've had the pleasure of hearing his Pete Rose stories before, and obviously on a day like this, Pete Rose has died. Very appropriate to bring him on to share some of those, and we'll address the broader debate too. I can tell you my thoughts. Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame now? It doesn't matter. There's no point in putting a dead guy in a Hall of Fame. Has always been my thought. It's a tribute for the living. There are times when it needs to be done and it's appropriate to be done. And certainly at Major League Baseball, putting Negro Leagues players in the Hall of Fame, long overdue. Obviously, they needed their due, but it's a celebration for the living, right? They didn't put Buck O'Neill in while he was alive. That was a missed opportunity. They put him in posthumously, and it's not the same. Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Debate's over to me. He's dead. What's it gonna? You know, they give the guys the posthumous Oscars. Like, what are you gonna do? Throw it in the coffin? It's no good to them anymore. It's a celebration for the living, and it's a celebration for the people who are alive and enjoy the game. And I've certainly got my thoughts, and I'm sure Parney has his too. But to me, it's moot now because Pete Rose isn't around. You know, it's almost an apology if you do it now. I don't think baseball's in the business of apologizing. I do think the fact that the Pete Rose debate is being conducted now, in an age where there is arguably more gambling than there has ever been at any time in human history, and it's being sponsored and sanctioned by Major League Baseball, lends a particular degree of irony to the festivities, for sure. So Parney will join at 10:30. At 11, Andy Bitter, who is Virginia Tech football writer extraordinaire, has been for some time. He will join us. I know Friday was a long time ago. It feels a long time ago. It was a long time ago. I still have questions.
I had a feeling you weren't over it.
Not over it. My guess is Andy Bitter's still talking about it as well. Now, Virginia Tech's back to practicing. It is their job to be over it because they got to go to the West Coast play Stanford on Saturday. It's not my job to get over it. I don't have to get over it. I'm welcome to continue having thoughts about it. And so we'll continue to process that with Andy Bitter. I'll sit on the couch. He can sit in the chair. He can walk us through, you know, the stages of grief, the bargaining, the acceptance, all the things. I don't know that he's going to have answers, but I'll pose questions at 11 o'clock. We'll dive into Virginia Tech. As we've started doing on Tuesdays, we'll run back clips from the Commanders game for you. Of course, you heard that right here on 910 The Fan on Sunday. One of the most complete, impressive showings this team's had in a very long time. A hard time even narrowing down the highlights. The team, Bram Weinstein and his crew up there, they send us the highlights from the game for us to use, you know, as we do our radio. There were so many of them. It was actually hard sifting and sorting through them this week. That's how many highlights there were, and certainly a lot of guys going to get their flowers, get their shout-outs today when we dive through Washington Commanders game tape post-game reaction. We'll do the same for the Hokies because I pride myself on hosting an intellectual radio program that's accessible. We cater to all crowds. I promise accessible, highbrow, the professor content. And yesterday I yelled for a while and read the rule book and was just generally angry. So let's revisit the Virginia Tech game because I think there's a lot we need to talk about that wasn't the last play of the game as well. So we'll get to all that. We'll look ahead to this weekend. By the way, here's how busy yesterday was because we had to talk about the Hail Mary. A1 called it the Fail Mary. I think that's probably a little unfair to Kyren Drones. Somebody failed on that play, though, for sure. So you know, they know who they are. I don't know who they are because they sit in a booth somewhere in Charlotte and make decisions that impact football games. We'll talk about all that. We'll dive into the rest of Virginia Tech. We were so busy with that. We were so busy with the Commanders' Victory Monday vibes. And the vibes were immaculate yesterday. I got to say, even with the rain, the vibes were very, very good on a Commanders Victory Monday. We didn't get to JMU. JMU this weekend, they scored 70 last week against North Carolina. And you might remember my commentary, which is, ain't no way they're going to score 70 again. Well, I was right. They only scored 63 as they demolished Ball State on Saturday. A 70 burger followed by a 63 spot in back-to-back weeks for the JMU Dukes. Wow. On pace to score 56 next week, I believe, mathematically speaking. They'll start Sun Belt play this weekend. Louisiana Monroe comes to town, and I don't think there's a hotter offensive team in the country than JMU, and I think they're on the verge of getting a little top 25 consideration if they keep that up. UVA's got a fun one this weekend, too. Bill O'Brien, Boston College Eagles come to town. I think this is, we talked about their very thin margin for error in making it to a bowl game. These are the kinds of games where that really shows itself. They're 3-1, which is great position, but it's a brutal late schedule. They're running out of winnable games here. Maybe they'll pull a stunner, right? Louisville's coming to town. Louisville's been known to slip on the banana peel. It's an ACC tradition. They're going to Clemson. They're not going to win that game. They're going to Notre Dame. They're not going to win that game. They're in Blacksburg. I don't think they'll win that game, right? So they need three more, and they've got plausibly, on my scoreboard, four opportunities to do it. So under our definition, not a must-win game. Only a must-win game if you can't make the bowl if you don't win the game. Under the definition of, you got four chances and you need three of them, this is an important game. They're all important games now. Saturday, noon, or Boston College comes to town. You know that team will be well-prepared. UVA coming off a break. They'll have their hands full there. Should be a good one. Virginia Tech, meanwhile, headed out to Stanford. They're going out to San Francisco. That's a conference game these days. That kicks off Stanford's ACC home tenure out there. ODU, which plays the toughest schedule in America for a team of at that level. Every week we talk about how they're playing a really good football team. I don't know how that happens, but they did it. South Carolina, Virginia Tech. They're at Coastal Carolina this week. Tough game. Brutal game for them. So we'll dive into all that. Will we make time for baseball? We will make time for baseball. Playoffs start today, and you know I was fired up. Yesterday, baseball was a casualty of how excited we were about the Commanders, and we were that excited about the Commanders and the Tech thing and all that. I could not have been more intrigued by yesterday's situation, the Mets and the Braves, how it all sorted out. I think it played out in a really fun way, a very dramatic way. Good opening day of the baseball postseason, even if it wasn't technically the postseason. So we'll dive into all that when we come back. We're going to revisit the Washington Commanders victory. Reminder, Parney at 10:30. That's in 20 minutes. He'll share some Pete Rose memories. Andy Bitter, Tech Sideline at 11. We are off and running. It's the Monday edition. It's the Tuesday edition. You're listening to MP on the mic. Now 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. I pride myself on not being a tech needy guy. Like, you know, we don't call tech support up here a lot. It's a radio show. We figure it out. I got a computer a few months ago, a new computer in the shuffle. It was a cheap computer. I want to say, I think it was $400. I paid $400. I'm perfectly fine. I've been using it, all that. I went to Miami. I told you, it's literally the most humid place I've ever been in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're there, you know, 8-9 hours outdoors. The computer's sitting out there.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take it super well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and not great. So it was acting up yesterday, to put it mildly. And it's like, all right, so I'm still in the warranty window. I'm just going to go get a new one. So I went to Best Buy and returned the computer. And they're like, we don't have this. We don't make this model anymore. You can either pay like $400 and get the nice one, because it's not on sale right now, or you can get the cheap one and we'll give you $150 back. It's like, I'll take the cheap one. I'm not needy. This is the worst computer I've ever used in my life.
No!
It's not. It doesn't even do Gmail, like, quickly. It's like spinning the wheel, like, oh, you want an email? Like, let me go get that for you. You're asking a lot of me over here. What do you mean you want to start a second window? We're not, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I got to go back to the store today.
Uh-huh.
And I think this ends with me spending money, is my hunch, is how this
money
ends.
Money in a 2-day journey.
Money. And the journey is what, the journey rankles me.
Yeah.
As you get older, the time matters. There's time value. My time is valuable to an extent, more valuable than I would like to think of me spending time going back and forth to the store to get a new computer, because you just assume all computers have a certain baseline. Like, they wouldn't let it off the assembly line if it didn't.
Surely.
They do.
They do.
They can and they do. I want to know what it does normally. Like, if it can't do email, what's it even for? Like, hey, do you want to type things in Notepad? Boy, do we have the computer for you.
Mm.
Remember having a typewriter? What if it was that, but with the screen?
Ooh.
Let's go. Commanders, Victory Tuesday. Why not? The vibes are good enough. I think they can carry over Victory Monday to Victory Tuesday. Reminder, Parney drops by the program in 12 minutes. But right now, we are reliving the best moments from Washington's win yesterday. Two days ago, they beat the Cardinals. They scored 42 points. Things were fun. So this is our 2-day breakdown here. We thank our friends at the Commanders Radio Network. Bram Weinstein, of course, on the call there. You heard it on the fan. You'll hear it on the fan. Back in action at home this weekend against the Cleveland Browns. That Jonathan Allen was on the Junkies earlier today. He was in a festive mood. I love Jonathan. Like, after the loss, like, the Junkies are like tiptoeing around, like, Jonathan, you know, it was a tough loss. And like, yeah, we'll play better next week. And after a win, they're like, Jonathan, what a performance. You did great. Yeah, we'll play better next week. Steady. He's focused. He played 4 years under Nick Saban. little of that rubbed off on him. A lot of that rubbed off on him. Here's how it started. This is not a highlight, but it's important to set the stage for what happened in this game.
Here we go. Big opening play. 10-10 to go first quarter. Fourth and inches at the 2. Murray's in the gun. Connor to his right. 2 wide receivers left. 1 to the right. Murray tried to hard count the Commanders, who have 7 in the box. Here's the snap. He's going to throw for it. Over towards Marvin Harrison. He makes a catch over Noah Igbinoghi. Wow, what a call on fourth and inches. And for the third straight week, Marvin Harrison Jr. has scored a touchdown.
Yeah, that first drive, the secondary wasn't great. Obviously, they called out Igbinoghi on that highlight. Jeremy Chin, I thought, had some bad plays on the first drive, was out of position. Igbinoghi shouldn't be on Marvin Harrison Jr. in the first place. That's a St. Juice assignment. So it didn't go well, which makes what happened next all the more impressive. Now, I want to give credit to the secondary. They could have fallen apart after that, and Emmanuel Forbes is back there and has fallen apart before. They could have. They didn't. They held it tight. But what happened was the D-line started eating. Let's go back to back Dorrance Armstrong sacks, because as you know, he was my defensive player of the game.
Second down and 10 at the 18-yard line. Greg Dortch goes in motion. Connor to the left of Murray. Arizona moving right to left in red on red. Washington with white jerseys, burgundy pants. Murray has to step up. Pocket collapses. He's waited too long, and they gather him and sack him. Dorrance Armstrong, who's been everywhere here in the first half, pulls him down at the 13. Murray wouldn't pull the trigger. He got away from the initial pressure, but not the second wave and a sack for Washington.
And Dorrance Armstrong gets a sack there, but great job by Frankie Louvre, who's stepping up, clouding the vision, and kind of causing some indecision in Kyler Murray and allowing Dorrance Armstrong to complete that sack. And like you said, he has been everywhere all day. I feel like he's got Kelvin Beachum's number.
This is a huge play here. 34 seconds to go in the half. Cardinals are going for a 4th and 1 at the Washington 35-yard line. Murray pointing out, trying to get everybody set. They're coming out of a timeout. Wilson, Harrison, Higgins all switch sides. Dortch goes in motion. 4th and 1. Snap to Murray. Steps up. Out of time. Hit by Dorrance Armstrong. Sacked. Turnover on downs.
And you talk about feeling the defense, man. They did such a great job of communicating that coverage. They're in a bunch. They're out of a bunch. Noah Igbinoghi and Emmanuel Forbes work together. They get it communicated. They pass it off. That's something we didn't see at all early this year. Great that all the defensive backs were on the same page. And Dorrance Armstrong, man, we can't say his name enough. Every pass down opportunity, he's been abusing Kelvin Beachum. And right there is a great example of that.
Logan Paulson in the booth there and noticing, I think what a lot of us did, this was a breakout game for Dorrance Armstrong. You remember, he was part of that Dallas defense with Dan Quinn, but he was not a starter in Dallas. DQ brings him to Washington, trying to give him that opportunity to be an every down guy, be a starter, and you're seeing the dividends here after 4 games because he was really good. Kyler Murray, man, what's going on there? He's a 1-1 pick, right? First round, first pick. He's good. We know he's good. We've seen him be good. He wasn't good in some of those key moments. And the play calling was a little funky as well. 4th down and 1 there. It was a long one. And Kyler's not a tush-push guy. He's a fragile dude. You need a quarterback who can do that, though. And I think you're seeing teams that have a quarterback like Kyler Murray, bring in the backup. Like, we need a yard, go get it. You should always be able to get a yard in professional football. You snap because the reach counts. You reach, you pull, got the yard. Easy in, easy out. You get walloped. It's a tough game. You pay for it. That's what the backup quarterback's for. Bring him in here, let him do that. Murray running out of the shotgun, gets sacked on the 4th down. As they mentioned, Dorrance Armstrong, just absolutely everywhere. Great performance by him. Game ball for him for sure. Greg Dortch, who was everywhere for the Cardinals. Richmond kid, Highland Springs. So shout out there. He was not part of the winning effort, though, because this was Washington's day. Here it is. First Jaden Daniels interception. The kid is, in fact, human after all.
14-7 Commanders. Luke McCaffrey this time in motion. 1st and 10. The Cardinals 49. Snap. Play action. Daniels keeps it. Throws one down the center of the field towards McCord, and that one is picked off. That one is picked off by Garrett Williams, who went up high to grab that. And that is Jaden Daniels' first interception of his career. And that is the first turnover of the season for the Commanders.
Had the fumbles in Tampa, but didn't lose any of them. First interception. I told you, I didn't take a lot of negatives out of this. I thought he made the right call, just threw a bad pass. Everybody does that at some point in their careers. He's human. He bounced back. I think the resiliency of this team is really something you're going to hear a lot about from me. You're probably going to hear a lot about it on The Fan today. I know my guy Grant Paulson was impressed by it as well. He mentioned that yesterday on Grant and Danny. They came out of halftime, and right, you talk about deferring when you win the toss, because that first possession of the second half is more valuable than the first possession of the first half, because you've seen how the game's played out. You have the opportunity to adjust. These guys adjusted brilliantly. They came out of halftime. It was still a competitive ball game. They came out of halftime with an even better plan, looking even better. And Jaden Daniels, it's one thing to take the game plan, process the game plan, be good at the game plan, to adjust on the fly, to see it on the iPad, go out and do it again. Very, very impressive. Here's the kid running in. This is the clip you saw all week. Him smiling big as he trotted in.
So Washington's back in the red zone here. Long penalty sets him up first and goal at the 9. B-Rob to the right of Daniels, trying to strike quickly with a 10-point lead here, starting the second half. Snap, sprint to the right, following a block from Robinson, gets to the corner of the end zone! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
Yeah, he's good, and when he does that, he makes the rest of the offense better on every play, because you got to account for the quarterback. He hands it off, doesn't matter, you got to account for him. He's throwing the ball, doesn't matter, you got to account for him. The defense can't overcommit, or they know Jaden Daniels is going to run for 10. By the way, that's the best slide of his career, not the touchdown, but he had one where he looked like a baseball player. I think he's been working on the slide. I think he's getting out there, practicing, getting better at sliding. I got time for one more clip, so I think we should play my favorite play of the entire game, Luke McCaffrey's one catch. The casualness with which Jaden Daniels kind of sidearms this into a ridiculously tight window. I'm not going to go crazy like I did for the Terry McLaurin play on Monday night against the Bengals. I still dream about that play. You know, when it's a little gloomy outside, when it's a little cloudy, I just think of Terry catching that ball in the exact perfect spot against zero blitz. It makes me so happy. This isn't that, but this is a really good play.
Second and 15 at the Cardinals 26. Washington trying to add to a 27-14 lead. They're ready. Daniels takes the snap. Cardinals bring 5. Steps back. Back foot. Catches Luke McCaffrey in stride. The 9-yard line. What a catch. Daniels threw off his back foot.
I cannot believe he just made this throw, because he looked to Zach and I thought, man, don't turn that down. Zach wide open. But the ability to understand the coverage, get to that second read. It's that 3 slant look we saw him catch a ball on last week against Cincinnati. And Jaden Daniels delivers an absolute strike over the middle of the field with great anticipation. I mean, that's big boy quarterback stuff right there.
I know everybody wants to talk about the running. The running's good. This kid's got an arm, and he can make all the throws, and that's what's going to set him apart at this level. More Commanders as we go. It's a victory week. It doesn't even have to be Victory Tuesday. It's just a victory week. The vibes are good. Browns are coming to town. Parney's on next. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Mike 910, the Fan, 105.1 FM. Good stuff from Parney paying tribute to the hit king, Pete Rose. I don't want to take anything away from Pete Rose's greatness. Ichiro is my hit king. I think you add the ones he got in Japan. If you add the hits he got in Japan, he's got the most hits ever. Now, it's Japan. It's not Major League Baseball. I get that. He's pretty good. Shohei Ohtani is a guy who may be in that conversation someday as well, because he just keeps raking, man. His numbers are insane. They show, like, last week, his numbers, it was the second best week of offensive baseball ever. He just didn't. I thought we did all the history things with him. There's more history still to come. But yesterday, the Braves played the Mets. Here was a deal going in. They only needed to win one, and there were two games. So the Braves needed to win one, and the Mets needed to win one. There were two games. So they both went for it in the first game. And we had ourselves some fun. The Braves took the lead in the bottom of the eighth. Everybody's going wild. We're going to make the playoffs. We're going to spray the champagne. Here's the play.
3-1. Swung on a fly ball to deep left field. Going back there, Nemo. Over his head. Off the wall. Here we go. One run in. Two runs in. Three runs in. Ozzie Albies reared back and burned it to left field. And it's 7-6 Braves in the eighth. What a crazy eighth inning in Atlanta, Georgia.
Then you've got the Mets who say, yeah, we could do that too. Absolutely.
Johnson ready. His first pitch to Lindor. Swinging a high fly ball. Well hit right center. Harris going back. It's on the way. It is gone. Into the Braves bullpen in right center field. Francisco Lindor has an MVP moment. Whether he wins one or not, he has just put the Mets back on top. 8-7. A two-run home run. His 33rd of the year. He's not only hugged by Marte. Marte lifts Lindor off of his feet. This is an unbelievable baseball game. The Mets have taken an 8-7 lead here in the ninth inning.
I love a good unbelievable day baseball game with high stakes. That's fun stuff. So Edwin Diaz, the Mets closer, was the one who botched it in the eighth, comes back for the ninth, takes care of business. The Mets make the playoffs.
Diaz sets the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball slowly hit to short. Waiting on it, Lindor. He's got it. Throws to first. Put it in the box. Diaz slams the glove down. He is pounced on by Alvarez. And the New York Mets are headed to postseason play in what has been a memorable season. There were 11 games under 500 in late May. They have stormed all the way back, and metaphorically they did so today, trailing 3-0 going to the eighth. They scored 6 runs to take the lead. Diaz gave the lead back. The Mets gave it back to him, and this time Diaz held onto it, and the Mets hugging each other behind the pitcher's mound celebrate as they will go to the postseason as a wild card.
All right, so the next half hour is the wacky half hour, because now we're playing game 2. The Mets don't have to win anymore. They're in the playoffs. The Braves do still have to win, but they've saved their best pitcher, Chris Sale, because, you know, hey, if we don't win game 1, we'll bring out Chris Sale. We'll win game 2. No worries. The Mets are going to play the Double A All-Stars. They're done. They're good. They're popping champagne. You know, their starters are back there playing video games while the scrubs play. Chris Sale has back spasms, can't go, they announce. So they have to go to their third pitcher for the most important game of the year to make the playoffs. They do win 3-0. So the Braves make the playoffs as well. But now the Braves are in San Diego today to play the Padres and will be starting a pitcher who hasn't started for the team this year because they're out of pitchers because they had to churn through them all yesterday. Baseball, man, it just keeps delivering. So that is the official end of the regular season. Today marks the official start of the postseason. All week, we're talking football too because the Commanders are red hot because Virginia Tech, whatever that was, happened. JMU's out here hanging 70 and 63 on people, and we had a really good Monday night game last night with the Lions and the Seahawks. We also had a bad Monday night game last night. We're swimming in football. But you know me, I'm going to make time for baseball, and so when you hear this sound, you'll know, and thank you, Hazel, for putting this together, you'll know it's time to talk baseball.
Over the shoulder, end zone, touchdown!
We interrupt this program to get baseball at its best.
First pitch pops it up right side of the infield, back into shallow right field. Makes the catch. One pitch, one out to start the ninth.
Baseball stuff!
Baseball stuff!
Baseball! Love baseball. When you hear that sound every day, we're going to make time for baseball. It's postseason baseball. It starts today with the Tigers and the Astros at 2:32, a very precise time to start a baseball game at. I hope they hold it to the second. That's the listed time is 2:32. You're there at 2:30. You're early. You're stuck watching a commercial. You have to watch a Pepto-Bismol commercial or something. I don't know. You get there at 2:34. Well, the game's already started. You might have missed something.
Late.
You're late. Royals-Orioles at Camden Yards. Great venue for some postseason baseball. Hopefully it's not raining up there. Mets-Brewers at 5 and bring it home with Braves-Padres at 8:30. We will make time to talk baseball, but this is a football show. I still haven't gotten over Friday night. We're bringing on Andy Bitter, Tech Sideline. He will answer all my questions next. 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. It's a Commanders Victory Tuesday. It's a Commanders Victory Week because the Commanders are the hottest thing in football right now. The Commanders and Sam Darnold, just like we all said it would be at this time of the year. Jaden Daniels and Sam Darnold, the faces of the NFL, just like they drew it up. That guy in Kansas City is doing pretty well, too. Not playing well, but 4-0. Which is almost scarier in a way. Monday Night Football last night. AWOD won our fantasy football matchup. I'm over it. Not important. We're moving on. We're on to next week. Yeah, we're 0-4. What's it to you? 0-4, just a minor setback for a major comeback. It'll make the bounce back that much sweeter when we go to 1-4 or 0-5 this next week. I'm not under any mistaken impressions about how good this team is. They're going to fire the coach here in a couple of weeks. I'm pretty sure of that. My days are numbered as manager of this football team. It's not very good. There were some controversial offseason trades that didn't pan out. Probably talked a little better game than we played on the field. We got a lot. We'll watch the tape. We'll get better. We'll take it day by day. We'll give it 110%. AWOD's up at noon. His program is live and local. We'll be talking Commanders as we do at 11:45 each day. If you missed our Commanders game breakdown, that was at 10:15 this morning. That's on the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. Thank you to Andy Bitter for dropping by. Wrapping up that Hokies loss, I know I spent more time on the loss than the game at Stanford, but I don't disagree with what Andy said. That Stanford game is a gotta-have-it game on a weird schedule. You got to fly out to the West Coast. You got the trip out west. You got a lot of factors at play there. I think the time zone thing's pretty overrated when you're talking about guys playing football. Now, Miami is going out to play Cal this week, 10:30 Eastern kickoff. That's when it matters, right? That's when you say, okay, 10:30 p.m. kickoff, that game's going to end, you're running the numbers. Ooh, that's a late night. Now it matters. West Coast team coming out here for a 9 a.m. body clock start, that's when it matters. Hokies start at 3, noon local time. They play football games at 3. I think that's generally an overrated element of these things. I think it's the noon or the 10:30. Those are the ones that they can scramble up the body clock, potentially give an advantage. I'm surprised the ACC allowed Miami to play in the 10:30 slot. Andy doesn't believe in conspiracies. I believe in conspiracies. I don't believe the replay review is a conspiracy. I think they're just bad at their jobs. But you want to protect your brands here, and you got two brands right now in the ACC. It's Miami and it's Clemson. And playing them at 10:30 at night is not protecting the brand. Again, not a conspiracy. I just think they're not good at their jobs. But we do want to revisit the Hokies game. You heard it right here Friday night on The Fan. Of course, Roth and Burnup, the crew up there in the booth. And this was as complete a game as they've played on the field in a very long time. And I don't disagree with Andy. The coaching was bad in Brent Pry's 29th game. It's a bad time for the coaching to be bad. It's a lot of football games under his belt. But the play was good. Let's get to the highlights. First quarter, jumping on a fumble.
Ward is in the gun. The snap comes back to him. First man's covered to the right, goes left. Hokies gang up on him. He throws it. Loose ball on the field. It's a pass or is it a fumble?
Brumfield came up with it. No matter what it is.
Gilliam is the one that had his arms around Ward. He's claiming he threw it. The Hokies are claiming it's a fumble, and the officials are going to get together.
Recovered by Virginia Tech. First down.
Yeah, defense came to play against Cam Ward, who, by the way, is really good. He is a legit Heisman contender. Did not stop there. Second quarter, kept the heat on.
Ward, number one in the gun, calls for the ball on third and goal from the 13. Back to throw, fires right side, it's going to be intercepted near the goal line. Phillips scampers down the left sideline in front of the Miami bench, and they finally knock him out of bounds. A goal line stand in a big way by Phillips and the Hokies.
I'm here for any Phillips highlights, that's good stuff. The defense bought the offense time to get rolling, to wear him down. You know who my guy is, he's rooting, he's scooting, he's basal tooting, let's go.
Miami leading 14-7 early in the second quarter.
Unbalanced line to the right.
See if the Hokies run the ball that way or roll drones out. Snap comes back, a running play. Bust free across the 40 of Miami. Sprinting into the secondary. He'll take it to the house. Touchdown Tech. A 55-yard run by Tootin. And the Hokies are right back in it here at Hard Rock.
14-14. Fun first half. We mentioned it with Andy there. We had a field goal kicking exhibition. I don't want to undersell. Again, most human night weather I've ever been in my entire life. That's not good for kickers. You know, the ball slows in the air. This is not Rocky Mountain High kicking conditions here. 57-yarder towards the end of the first half. Very impressive.
57-yard attempt. Here's the snap and the kick. It's in the air. It's got the distance. And this one is good. Sailing through the mist and the humidity of Miami. A 57-yard field goal.
Impressive. What was not impressive was, instead of running the clock down to one before calling the timeout kick and the field goal, they gave Miami 22 seconds. They squib kicked it. Miami got a pass. They got a 52-yard field goal right back. Equally impressive kicking. You can't do that. That's three free points for the other team. That's coaching. You got players playing their butts off. You got interceptions. You got fumbles. You got base show rooting, scooting, tooting all over the field. And the other team gets three free points because of coaching. You can't have that in a game against a really good top 10 opponent on the road. And that's a big part of the storyline coming out of this game. This isn't a first-year coach. This is a guy who's been here. This isn't a first-year roster. This is a veteran team coming back. You've got to be better than that at this juncture. That's the scary part for the Hokies. You liked what you saw on the field. You liked what you saw from the players. You didn't like what you saw in the booth and from the coaching staff. That's what's scary. Coaching transitions are brutal. And in the NIL era, everybody leaves when the coach leaves. You got to reset. You got to reboot. It's tough. It's a tough decision to make. We're rapidly flying towards that decision having to be made. And yeah, that Clemson game is going to be a big one. That'll be determining whether or not the Hokies have a chance to be in the ACC title game or not. Defense kept rolling in the third quarter, though. I can't say enough about this Hokie defense. This is everything we were promised before the season and more.
Ward is in the gun. They send the tight end Arroyo in motion right to left. Ward to throw. The blitz is on. He lets it go near sideline, deflected and intercepted on the 5-yard line. That's Spencer with the ball to the 20. Has a convoy in front of him to the 30. Down the left sideline. Spencer still going at the Miami 35 to the 30. Down to the 20. And they knock him down there. Dorian Strong tipped it, and then Caleb Spencer, the former Miami Hurricane, picked it off.
Love that. Spencer, who spent time with the Hurricanes, transferred to Virginia Tech. Got to be mighty satisfying to get one back in the old stomping grounds against the quarterback you practiced against, Cam Ward. Set Tech up. Here's the high water mark, going up 10, fourth quarter.
Hokies have Aiden Green wide to the right. Young man from Knoxville. That's the wide side of the field. Jalen Lane comes in motion that way. Drones the snap, half roll to the right. Kyron Drones looking, going to flip it into the end zone where it is caught for the touchdown by Lane. And the Hokies score. Silencing the crowd as Green hauls it into the end zone and Tech extends the lead.
I'm an NFL guy. I watch far more NFL football in college because that was my job for so long. I love college football. Again, great atmosphere at that game. So fun being there. But you always have to remind yourself, and God, in pro football, there is a point of the game where the other team can't come back anymore. Just mathematically, the way the clock works, the way rushing games work, there's a point where it's over. That point kind of doesn't exist in college football. Easier for an onside kick, easier to get a defensive stop. The clock stops on first downs, easier to get chunk plays. You can have a 15-second scoring drive. Never out of it. Even when Miami scored, then Tech wasn't out of it. Didn't love the way they ran the clock on the last possession. Y'all know how the Hail Mary happened. On the way to the Miami comeback, though, they had a fourth down. It was kind of over at that point if Miami didn't get it. Cam Ward rolls out. His receiver slips and falls as Cam Ward throws the ball. And I love Mike Burnup because he puts it better than I could ever possibly put it.
You know, you look up there and Cam Ward's a heck of a quarterback, made some unbelievable throws, but well, that one on fourth down just as a killer too, and the guy catches on his butt.
I said down in the spring when I was there, I said that's also nothing new. Him making plays just like that, left and right, you know, so I wasn't surprised.
That's Caleb Spencer post-game interview on the Hokies Radio Network. You heard it right here on 910 The Fan. All that, and he caught it on his butt. That's the radio I need in my life. No, you accuse this show of being highbrow, we'll come right back at you with a good old-fashioned he caught it on his butt. He did. It was a wild football game. Big one this week for the Hokies. We'll break it down as the week goes on for sure because they got to get the win. They got to bounce back. That's a tricky situation. Late night in Miami, heartbreaking loss. Got to rally the troops, get back on a plane, go 6 hours to San Francisco. I don't envy their coaching job this week. We're back with more after this. We'll take a spin through NFL world. It's a Commanders victory week. They're 3-1. They're leading the NFC East. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Half an hour to AWOD Radio, noon to 3. Grant and Danny drive you home. Hopefully not in the rain. Hopefully we get this rain out of here. If we don't, though, we're still doing Commanders Victory Week because I still think this is probably about as good of a two-game stretch as you're ever going to see out of a local football team. Just the way the buzz has exploded over the past week, the way the talk has gone from Jaden Daniels, when will he be good, to Jaden Daniels, he is good, and he is good. He's been making all the throws. Two highlight reel plays, the McLaurin catch on Monday Night Football, and then that Luke McCaffrey catch last week, where he just zings the ball into a tight window, making throws that there are not 32 guys on this planet who can make that throw. That's what makes this all the more impressive. Of course, you will hear Commanders and the Browns this weekend, Sunday, 1 o'clock, right here. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. News out of Kansas City as we get ready for Royals-Orioles baseball, playoff baseball today. Vinny Pasquantino, their first baseman, is back in the lineup after an injury. Mentioned that. He is, of course, the pride of James River High School. Has not, to my knowledge, appeared during a Play Chesterfield Wednesday segment. We'll see if we can get him out of the clubhouse next time we do James River to do a segment with us. Vinny Pasquantino back in the lineup for the Royals. Two struggling teams, the Royals and the O's, as they start the postseason. Then your primetime game tonight, the Braves and the Padres, the Braves out of pitchers. That does not bode particularly well for them going into a three-game do-or-die series against a fully rested San Diego Padres team. All right, want to dive back into the NFL Monday Night Football last night. Before we do, though, I don't know if you caught this or not, because this was one of many very forgettable games across the NFL over the weekend. But Joey Sly, he was our guy for a minute in D.C. He, of course, is the pride of Fredericksburg, Stafford County. Tied an NFL record on Sunday. He went deep from 63 yards.
Cardona will snap to Behringer. His right knee is down as he turns back to Sly. Cardona snap in Behringer's hands. A swing of the right leg, a line drive kick, oh, headed toward the uprights, and the kick is good!
Held it!
Joey Sly punctuates the end of the first half with a 63-yard field goal.
63, man, kickers are just making 50s in their sleep right now. It's a new era, and you hear all the talk, right? Do we need to change the rules? Do we need to make it harder? It's too easy to make a field goal. Doesn't bother me personally. I think certainly, I don't think teams are settling. I think everybody's still trying to score a touchdown every time they've got the ball. But if possessions end with field goals instead of punts now at midfield, doesn't bother me at all. Put three on the board, keep it moving. You got kickoffs that now come back to the 30 on average. You're basically two first downs away from being in field goal range at any given time now on an NFL football field. It's a good time to be on the offensive side of the ball, I'll say that much. Bad time to be Tress Way. One punt in the last three games of game time. Great time to be a Commanders fan. We'll continue bringing you that Commanders content all week long as they get back on the practice field tomorrow. Last night, though, Monday Night Football, it was a gem. Detroit, this is Do Not Adjust Your Radio Dial. This is Amon-Ra St. Brown throwing a touchdown pass to Jared Goff.
Jared leans in. There's the snap. Jared on the end around gives it to Amon-Ra. He's going to throw it to Jared. It's on to the end zone. Jared Goff. Oh, baby, on the receiving end of a pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, Ben Johnson, I see you too. That is beautiful stuff. That is Monday Night Magic.
Monday Night Magic out of the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. I like that we can listen to that clip and I don't have to be like, what would have happened if Ben Johnson were here? That'd be, we got a good team here. Cliff Kingsbury dialing up some winners right now. There is no regret at the moment about the decisions that were made in Washington this offseason. If anything, you wonder if Ben Johnson, like, wish I was coaching that kid. Number five, he's pretty good. I like what he could do. You can ask him to do a lot of different things. It was also a good Monday Night Football game because I think both teams ended up placed probably correctly at the end. Two good teams. I like the Seahawks a lot. I think they're a good team. I think the Lions are a very good team. Seahawks game the game. Lions won the game. Everybody played well. Everybody kind of slots in where they are. Here's Dan Campbell after the game on the Jared Goff renaissance. It continues.
I just gave the game ball to somebody else, so I feel awful right now. I knew he played a heck of a game. I did not realize he was perfect. I did not know he was literally 18 for 18. But I knew he played really well. You could feel it, and he really found his rhythm early. And I thought he was seeing the field, played with rhythm. He had to move a little bit in the pocket. I thought what really kickstarted him is the, you know, he had to kind of move in the pocket, got spun around, and hung with J-Mo and hit him on the hook for the first down. It was big, man, because he was rolling after that.
I like Dan Campbell. I got a soft spot for Dan Campbell. Both a meathead and lovable. Does the Applebee's ad. He's all the things in all the places. Yeah, he's an easy guy to root for. And the NFC picture has cleared itself up over the last few weeks. The Niners are certainly not the feared team they once were. And the Brock Purdy shine has come off a little bit now that he's playing without his top weapons. I'm not going to say it's over for Brock Purdy. It's a long season. They play a lot of football. But I think that had always been everybody's fear. What if he doesn't play with McCaffrey? What if Ayuk doesn't play? What if some of these guys don't go? Will he still be able to lift the team, right? And that's the criteria. You pay a quarterback $50 million a year, he's got to lift the team, right? Mahomes can make an infinite amount of money. He's worth it. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, those guys can do it. There's other guys, though, Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence, they're making the money. They can't do it. Dak's in the middle. Can Dak do it? I don't know that we've seen it. I don't know that you can say for sure he can't do it either. We got to figure out which camp Brock Purdy's in before a big decision for the 49ers at the end of this year. The thing I loved last night, though, was one really, really good Monday night football game. We also had a full stinker of a Monday night football game. It was kind of perfect. With two games, opportunity to switch channels during the commercial, get the double screen going, enjoy great football, so remind ourselves what bad football is. It was the Titans. It was the Dolphins. Neither team is going to amount to anything this year. The Dolphins have huge issues with their roster construction. The Titans are all in on Will Levis, and boy, that has backfired. He got hurt. They got good, won the game. That's still not the spot you want to be in. Here's Brian Callahan on what's going on.
100%. Yeah, Will's healthy. He's our quarterback. It was not a decision based on anything other than his health and protecting him, particularly with the bye week and the shoulder that didn't feel great. I didn't want to put him back out there, and I knew I was going to run the ball quite a bit. So that was really what it factored. But he's our starter when he's healthy, and we're ready to roll with him.
We're ready to roll with him. Ready to roll all the way to a 500 season at best in Tennessee. And then, of course, on the other side, Mike McDaniel toasted the NFL a year ago. Two is out, and things are falling apart rapidly in Miami.
We have to assess everything. You know, I hesitate to overcook before I watch the film and kind of marinate on this whole situation. But, you know, there will be things that will change. It's kind of hard to say exactly what those things are, but we're definitely in need of it.
It's tough to have to evaluate everything after the Monday night game. You come back for the short week of work, and they got big, big questions down in Miami where they don't have a quarterback, and they're missing a lot of other key pieces as well, not because of injury, but because that roster may not have been constructed for the rigors of an NFL season. We've done a lot of marinating today. Was that our third marinating of the day?
I believe so.
It's our word of the day there.
We're going to be well-seasoned this afternoon.
It's a well-seasoned program. It's MP on the mic, always flavorful, never lets you down. AWOD Radio joins us. Next, we will talk Washington Commanders. Continue on Victory Week for the Commanders. Enjoy it, folks. You've earned it. You've walked through the wilderness for years. Flex on it. 3-1, leading the NFC East, hottest young quarterback in football, rookie of the year front runner. Yeah, all those things. We'll talk about them on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.